The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday, June 13th, 55 degrees on our way up to 88 or so. Going to be a great day, no doubt. You can join the conversation at 770-5633. We got a lot to talk about this morning. And one thing that I wanted to give you a quick update on a story which we've been kind of diving in and out of here over the last couple of years. And this has to do with the scam red light cameras in Medford. And we know that Dr. Glenn Gamera, I was talking with Dr. Glenn Gamera yesterday about what the story was. He's the Southern Oregon chiropractor who ended up driving his Porsche and got nailed at that red light camera over on Barnett and Stewart. Is that West Stewart? I forget exactly where that is. And he got nailed on that. And a friend of his, who is a traffic engineer, ended up discovering that these red light cameras were just mistimed. And it would appear to be, if not intentionally mistimed, shall we say, negligently not timed properly. There's one way of looking at it. But the point being, though, is that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in fines, they're alleging, have been collected unjustly by the city of Medford. I think it's like $1.5 million, maybe $1.8 million, if I recall correctly, in fines that were scammed from motorists. Because there are standards here. I mean, it was like the way that the that particular red light camera was timed is that you could almost not get through the intersection in certain situations. In other words, you couldn't follow the law. You couldn't follow the law. They would time the lights as if everybody was going straight, but that intersection was a turn right or a turn left kind of situation. And I remember, you know, my wife Linda got popped there shortly before Dr. Glenn Gamera came forward. And she said, I don't understand, because I stopped and then I left. Or, you know, but they said that once again that the light turned red while she was in the middle of the turn. Well, there was just no way of doing it. It's just been a bad thing all around. And so the lawsuit was filed. Yes, back in January, Dr. Gamera was telling me about this, and he just sort of reiterated it yesterday. And I just wanted to give you the current status of it. They filed in January, and the city of Medford attorneys, they hired a local law firm to do it. This is, you know, paraphrasing what Dr. Glenn Gamera was talking about. And the attorney ended up saying, well, you know, you filed too late, because it was like 2 years after Dr. Glenn Gamera had been popped for his red light violation. Well, that's not going to hold water, according to his attorneys, the ones that are trying to get this class action lawsuit here filed. And I guess they're trying to certify the class right now. So in the next few weeks or so, we're finally going to find out how this is going to move forward. City is going to claim that, of course, oh, you filed too late and the statute expired, et cetera, et cetera. Except that really what the law says is that the time to file your case actually starts when you realize that you have been screwed, not when you were first screwed. It's when you realize that you were first screwed by the red light camera. It'll be interesting to see where this goes, because if Dr. Gamera and the attorneys are successful at this case, City of Medford is going to have to pay back a lot. I think that's what the ask is going to be. I don't think it's a bunch of punitive. I could be wrong about this. I haven't read the entire case yet. But the whole idea is that the state would have to, and the and Medford, Oregon, would have to refund the ill-gotten gains. It was something that never should have happened in the first place. And the funny thing is that I would tell him, I said, boy, I'll tell you, you know, I can see there's some problems with people blowing red lights. In fact, you know, the one over by Fred Meyer in Medford, they wanted to put a red light camera in there, but there's some jurisdiction or some property problem. There was no place to put the red light bandits, the bandit cameras there. And yet you'll still see people that are blowing the lights routinely at that. And not necessarily going fast. They're just, you know, doing 45 at that point, I think is the speed limit there. and they're not able to get through it without clipping the red light and it turning green on the other side. He says that's because they're all mistimed. They're still mistimed. And the ask in this lawsuit, and this is the part I think is really going to be interesting. The ask in this lawsuit is going to be that the city of Medford and the state of Oregon get involved here and force these cities and get everybody to actually follow the law of the formula of how you time these red lights, which means that the yellow lights would be quite a bit longer than they are right now. Essentially, the lights are timed, apparently, I guess, you know, kind of like spitballing on this, is if everybody's supposed to be driving like the old stereotype little old lady. You know, you just kind of, you know, Mr. Magoo, you're supposed to be just, you know, doddering around, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's not what the law is about. And there's been a lot of disorder and expense that the city of Medford has screwed people over, in my opinion, with these red light cameras, because it's not just about, okay, you have to pay the fine or you have to go to a diversion. It ends up going on. You have commercial drivers that got in trouble that, you know, would have to pay higher insurance rates. You might have trouble getting jobs because you think, oh, you're not a really good driver. Look, you got two red light cameras there. You got a couple of tickets at this same intersection. You know, it's fascinating. It's like that intersection had like 1/4 the traffic and had 4 times the red light tickets. It's like all of a sudden everybody was really bad, but just at this one particular intersection. It's a really, really interesting battle of the people against the tyranny. Because ultimately, if the cities start timing these traffic lights around here, according to the law and according to the formula that was set up about how to time the yellow light into the red light, there won't be any need for red light cameras, or almost no need for red light cameras, because there will be so few people that will get popped by them that they can't afford to have the cameras up, and the red light camera people will just go away. So is the goal to, you know, make people drive like, you know, like the proverbial little old lady, you know, so to speak? Although I know there are little old ladies that speed too, don't get me wrong. But, you know, the stereotype, right? Is it about making everybody drive like that? Or is it about following the law and moving traffic smoothly and safely and not having people slamming on their brakes and having people rear-ending? In fact, that's one of the results of putting in the red light cameras. You have more rear-end collisions, but they don't really talk about that all that much. We'll see where this goes. Because they're going to continue to fight, and Dr. Gamera is saying that, yep, they're going to keep fighting here. They're certifying the class right now, and we're talking about the class action part of it. And if that goes through, and when that goes through, he's going to come back on the show and explain more about what is going on next. But, boy, let me tell you, this red light camera, I assure you, Dr. Gamera was able to afford that red light camera, that ticket, right? But he was like a dog with a bone on this, and he is just not, he's just biting down hard and not letting go, and God bless him, as far as I'm concerned, because he stood up, and he got people involved, and he knew people who knew people, and he says, okay, no, this is unjust, and we're going to fight this, and then getting a bunch of other people tuned into this. So anyway, that is the latest on it. They're in the process of certifying the class. Okay, all right. 19 after 6, and we'll go over some other headlines here. DC Swamp Update is going to be on a special Thursday edition. We're going to be talking with Rick Manning about, and I swear, Rick is channeling what's going on here in the state legislature, except in Congress, there's actually a Republican majority, slim, but it's there. But he's fighting right now, and other people are fighting right now, to have Congress not do anything. Because one of the biggest challenges they have is, well, there's these problems and we have to do something. And of course, just like in Salem, when we have to do something, what does that mean? It means ultimately you're passing activist Democrat legislation. He'll tell you more about that coming up. This is the Bill Myers Show. Got a mess with the IRS. Tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. Hardcastle Traders, where the customer is king.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy. So if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on KMED.
It is 22 minutes after 6. Melissa, you had a question about the red light camera lawsuit that Dr. Gobert is in the process of still certifying. What's going on?
Well, I was just wondering if you could ask him the dates, Dr. Gobert, the dates that the class action lawsuit is involved in, because I'm pretty sure I got one.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't received anything regarding, you know, being involved. And I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I think that not only do I wouldn't want my fine back, but I also want my increased amount for insurance. You know, that was a big deal to get your, you know, insurance higher and not to have a good driving record anymore.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And that is why this situation ends up having many unintended consequences. It's not just the ticket. It's not just the ticket. There's a lot more to it. There's the problem with your driver's record getting work for some people. Some commercial drivers found themselves sideways with their employer because of getting red light cameras at that one particular intersection. And you're right, the increase in insurance. Now, some people were able to avoid it. I think if you went to the diversion thing. And Linda went to the diversion class, which during the COVID period, which is when that was happening, was when she got popped. It was online, so it wasn't that big of a deal, so it didn't affect her insurance. But still, a lot of people did.
The problem is that if you go get another ticket, see, I never run a red light. I don't think I've ever run a red light in my entire life. It's
really?
The speeding they get me on. So, you know, they get me for going, I think that's 35 there, and I think I was going... you know, like 38, 39 in between mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not, I didn't run a red light. I just went too fast through the light.
Through the light. Okay. What is the date when you had your red light ticket there?
It's been about 2 years ago now.
That's about,
still on my record.
That's about the period. It's about that period. I want to say 2022, because January 2024, this year, was when he filed over his ticket, which was 2 years ago, which would have been January 2022. So, yeah, it could be within that realm of possibility.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll check into it. I appreciate it.
Okay. You bet. Dr. Glenn Gamare. And this is the Bill Meyer Show. Let me go to line two, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hi. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Bob Shandon, Medford.
Morning, Bob.
At a recent Medford City Council study session, Ryan Martin, the chief financial officer, stated that Medford, kind of on their books, keeps $20 million in the bank, non-committed funds. But Medford actually has $40 million in non-committed funds. And they said, well, we should just hold on to all of that because, you know, times may get hard here in the future. And
well, and they're actually and you're actually wise to have pretty healthy reserves for any city or county.
Well, 20 is, you know, what they want, but mm-hmm. they got 40. So
yeah.
They got twice as much. So how much of that surplus 40 came from the red light cameras?
That's a really interesting question. Now, I believe that what Gamera was talking about is that they estimated there was like $1.5 to $2 million of unjust fines. And like
okay.
I said, we're just spitballing and estimating on it, Ben. And
yeah.
still, that's some serious money. That's a lot of money just yanked out of people's pockets on this.
Hey, if they're
matter.
In for a penny, they're in for a pound. So they're either being very fiscally responsible or they're charging too much in fees and taxes and everything else.
The part that always concerned me about this entire story here, and I don't have any proof of who might have been, you know, in charge of noticing or who was supposed to notice that, but all you had to do was just look at the traffic levels through that one particular intersection, and you just realize that it's like half to a whole lot less traffic going through it with way, way, way more tickets and fines being issued out of that. And you would have thought that would have rang some alarm bells down at the city of Medford at some point.
Yeah, the alarm bells go cha-ching in the city of Medford.
That's it. Okay, this is a profitable intersection. We need to find a way to make it the best. Now, one of the most important parts of this lawsuit, too, will also make sure that similar lights with the same speed limit are timed the same way, because that was something that Gamer was asking about in his suit earlier, in which the light in Medford, which is over by Staples, is the same kind of intersection, but that one had a much longer yellow light. And then you go to the next intersection, the one that has the red light camera, and the yellow light's very short, right? And so it's the same type of intersection, same speed limit, and then primed to pop everybody. That's what happened again and again.
Maybe they need to do like gas prices and rotate the higher rates between the different lights so people are scattered and it's non-defined to one particular place.
Yeah, move the red light from intersection to intersection, right? That's the
right
case might be.
I shouldn't give them any help.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No.
Hey, thanks, Bob. No. Hey, the car show is this weekend, isn't it? The Father's Day weekend?
That's coming up, either this weekend or next, over at Fichtner Mainwaring.
Yeah, it's always a Father's Day weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, this is Father's Day weekend, so it must be going on over there. That'll be a great deal. A lot of fun.
Free admission, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing I was going to add, you got the Father's Day, the car show this weekend there at that park. And then, of course, there's Airport Day at the Josephine County Airport by Merlin, and then right after that, I'm going to go over to the steam tractor show, the big old-time tractor show at Pottsville. It's going to be lots of fun.
I went there once many, many years ago, and that was really fun.
You got to go back again. Bob, go out there.
Yeah.
I'll buy a snow cone, Bob.
I bought a little cast iron toy motorcycle from the 30s. That was a little thing I got. But, yeah, it was enjoyable. I really, really enjoyed that. But I got to take a day off for retirement to go have some fun.
Okay, you do that.
Okay.
Thanks again.
All righty.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Shanny. It's 6:28, 28 minutes after 6. Other news here, some of the headlines here in the state of Oregon. Tops, you know, this. It's interesting. This story got buried on the state newscast yesterday. I don't think they really wanted to talk about this too much because he was such a luminary of Democrat-controlled politics, and that is Neil Goldschmidt, Oregon's former governor, and our former governor, who, of course, was a pervert. He ended up abusing a young girl for several years, sexually abused her, and died at the age of 83. And I couldn't help but notice that many of the news sources around the state of Oregon had the Neil Goldschmidt story. Oh, you know, kind of like after the, you know, the first weather forecast and all the major news headlines and then some Mommy and Me news. And then they talk about Neil Goldschmidt and bury that between the second weather forecast coming later before sports. I don't know. It could have been just a coincidence on my part. But, yeah, he's gone and not a lot of people missing that as far as I'm concerned. Just a very sad, very sordid part of Oregon state government political history. All right. Interesting story about, you remember what happened over in Sisters last weekend in which the bull jumped the fence and ended up diving into the crowd and, you know, hurt a couple people. Fortunately, they're going to be all right. And Siskiyou Golden Fairgrounds has announced that they're going to, I think they already have, they've installed a permanent 12-foot tall chain link fence. And they're saying this will protect the patrons in the grandstands here, and this according to KDRV here, and Siskiyou Golden Fairgrounds CEO Cliff Munson tells KDRV, I can tell you just seeing that footage from the weekend and, of course, a couple of years ago in Reading from rodeo situations, I think it is very beneficial. Fairground was strongly encouraged to replace their temporary fencing after a 2022 incident in Reading where a bull made its way into the crowd and hurt five people. So, anyway, no problem going to see the Bulls. 12-foot fencing and protective netting. I think you're going to be okay to go. All right? It's 6:30 at KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Swamp Update is coming up with Rick Manning. How do we stop the Republicans in D.C. from passing Democratic bills? Just like we ask in Salem. We'll have that all coming up.
Don't give wildfire a path to your door. Prepare your home and yard before fire strikes. Clean your roof and gutters of leaves and debris. Limb up trees. Space those plants. Cut your lawn short, and if possible, keep it green. It's called Defensible Space, and it works. Go to KeepOregonGreen.org to learn more.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery K in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. A group of seven summit is opened in Italy, negotiators reaching agreement hours before the official opening of the summit on a U.S. proposal to back a $50 billion loan to Ukraine using frozen Russian assets as collateral. A tropical disturbance has brought a rare flash flood emergency to much of southern Florida. Floridians prepared to weather more heavy rainfall today and tomorrow. Wholesale prices wholesale price increases fell in May. The producer price index declined 0.2% from April to May after rising by 0.5% the month before. On Wall Street, just before the opening bell, Dow futures were down 59 points, while NASDAQ futures were up 139. More details at SRNnews.com.
See, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, this is Paul from Ballavie Nursery. It's time to color your summer with flowers like salvia, lavender, coneflower, and more. Plus pottery, now 20% off. Join us this Saturday and Sunday for Dad's Weekend and receive a $20 bonus gift card with a $100 purchase. For color and choice you won't see anywhere else and Dad's Weekend promotions, go to ValleyViewNursery.com. Google Map, Valley View Nursery. Find us closer than you think.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $4.45 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $4.45 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $4.45 a month. And let's talk about Ford Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles. We're the dealership that sells a make and model as Ford Blue Certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $4.45 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a 70, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
The Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED.
6:35.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see. I'm not talking, let's go.
And he came anyway to D.C., and there he is, swamping away. Not of the swamp, but just around it, I guess, on the... I don't know. Anyway, just reporting on it. Okay, it's Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, and a great friend of the show. Rick, it's great to have you back in here. You know, I understand that that in D.C., the struggle right now is to have Congress, congressional Republicans, Rick, stop doing what legislature Republicans in Oregon do. They're in the minority, and they're always just kind of going along to get along with Democrats, and they vote for bad Democrat bills. But in Congress, they have the majority, and they're doing that, right? Is that kind of what the story is right now? Why don't you set the table?
Yeah, the challenge is they've got, well, after the elections on Tuesday, they now have a three-vote majority in the House, up from a one-vote majority 2 weeks ago. But they're maxing out at five, so there's not much. Truth is, conservatives don't have a majority to do anything. That's just God's honest truth. There's a few things that the government has to do. They have to pass some kind of funding bill to keep it going. We know how that funding bill is going to go, typically. Mm-hmm. What they would do in September is they'd wait to the end. We get a bad bill that would then say, oh, we're only going to do this until December. Then we get a really bad bill in December because they'll have to go home for Christmas.
Right.
And you have a lame duck at that point. So there's a lot of the members who aren't coming back or defeated, and so they don't care all that much. In fact, many of them have jobs with somebody else waiting for them, and it's a little bit of a unsavory system where they're then voting on legislation that affects people they're voting, they're going to be paid by in a month. But I guess it's just more above board that way. But ultimately what you would want to do, let's just make an assumption Donald Trump wins, what you'd want to do is you'd want to have a continuing resolution go to middle of March, say. Mm-hmm. So the Trump administration that would be able to set the budget priorities and the spending priorities for the 6 months from March to September of 2025. That's
so
how the schedule would normally work, okay?
Okay, that's the way it would normally work here, but is there a lot of this, hey, we have to do something kind of line of thinking?
There's always that. And, you know, we've talked about the last week about the bipartisan push to sunset something like Section 230 that covers the Internet and actually would be a knife at the throat of things like Truth Social X and other sites that allow actual discourse of different opinions.
Yeah, it would actually make free speech online worse, not better, right?
Right. It's something that, you know, there's some things that need to be done, but what they're proposing is everybody involved says, well, this is not the answer, but they're going to do it to try to create a crisis, and it's just stupid. But nonetheless, here's the key to this. There won't be conservative pieces of legislation passed through the House, the Senate, and signed by President Biden. That will not happen.
True.
We've fought this out. We don't have the votes to do a conservative thing in the House of Representatives. So that's not going to happen. Given that that's not going to happen, what is the most rational thing to do? Rational thing to do is pass the bills you have to pass. That would be the National Defense Authorization Act, which is annual. So you have to pass the National Defense Authorization Act, and they have to pass the funding bill.
Okay.
And they pass the funding. And so rather than mess around and spend, oh, we're going to get to a fiscal cliff, then we'll be another fiscal cliff, and then finally we'll do the third one that gets us to March, and meanwhile we'll spend way more money than we should have. Let's just pass a funding bill now. There's no reason we have to wait till September.
So you can pass it now. You pass it now. You get it off the table. Everybody goes home and you start campaigning, right?
Right. Yeah, you pass it now. You send it to the Senate. The Senate can sit on it. They don't not sit on it. They do whatever they want to do. But the fact is, House of Representatives, if they pass the National Defense Authorization Act, send it to the Senate. They pass the funding bill that through March of 2025, send it to the Senate. And you go home. And you go home, and all the local newspapers will say, oh, you're not doing your job. You're not D.C. And every single conservative legislator can say, no, I am doing my job because I'm stopping bad things from happening in D.C. We've done our job. We funded the government. There's nothing that's going to come out of this government. There's a lame duck government. There's nothing that's going to come out of it that's any good. And we're going to make our case to the people about why we have to change what's going on in Washington, D.C., how come it's broken and what we need to do.
Yeah. Okay.
That
so
logical, yeah. A logical thing to do is what I'm advocating that they do, because ultimately, anything else they produce is going to be very hard to repair because they're going to pass the legislation, which, you know, edicts from the White House are one thing, legislation is hard to change.
Yeah, anything that the White House would sign at this point in an election year,
it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. It can't be good. In fact, we're at the point right now that if it's bipartisan, if everyone's reaching across the aisle, they're just reaching across the aisle to screw the American people. That's just the plain fact of the matter.
Yeah, that is a – now, the people who won't like it are people who are lobbying Congress because, you know, quite honestly, they get paid to lobby Congress. If Congress has gone away, why pay them? So that would be, you know, that would be a bad thing for people who are dependent upon things being fought out in Congress. So it'd be a bad thing for people like that. And quite honestly, it'd be bad for Americans for limited government, because one of the reasons people give money to us is to fight bad things in Congress. So from a practical perspective, it's not a great idea for my group's bottom line. But nonetheless, it is it's the right thing to do for the country. And it's the right thing to do for a conservative agenda. And if we actually want to win the hearts and souls and minds of people and around the country, we have to be back making our case. We can't allow the national media to define what's going on. We have to be back at meeting with people, talking to people, and basically building an army that says no, we're not going to allow this to happen to our country.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do it from D.C. because in D.C. they're trapped. They're trapped in terms of agendas. They're trapped in terms of schedules. They're trapped in terms of just the normal way of doing everything.
And this is the way we've always done it. And we keep getting the same poor outcome. Okay.
And some of the more conservative members will say, "Wait a second, I'm going to lose my 1 minute speech I give every day on the floor of the House to nobody." Making a point into the air that I can then broadcast on YouTube. But, that doesn't affect – if that worked, we'd have won, because we're really good at that.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's always proud of that kind of stuff. Well, I kind of like this. Now, do you think that there is an appetite for this kind of plan? Because if I understand, I think Heritage reached out to you too, and I guess Heritage would be in favor of this too. In other words, do only what you have to and do it right now, lock it in, so that way, in other words, it's essentially rolling the dice on a big Trump win, right? That's essentially what Republicans would be doing, right?
That's exactly what we'd be doing. And the fact of the matter is, if Trump doesn't win, or we don't, let's say we get a same narrow majority in the House and maybe a very narrow majority in the Senate, at that point, you're looking at, there's nothing that they could do today that they can't do 6 months from now.
Okay.
Okay. So you're not actually changing anything. You're changing timetables. But if Biden wins reelection, the Republicans aren't going to have control of the House. They probably will have a one or two seat advantage in the Senate. But the two Republican senators who will be the majority makers will be Murkowski and Collins.
Mm-hmm.
So, just take that for what it's worth. So the bottom line is there's nothing, no bipartisan deal that you can get to that can be offered and passed today that can't be passed in 6 months.
All right. Well, I know in the state of Oregon, we've been always imploring Republicans who are in the minority here that stop reaching across the aisle. And okay, if you can help make a bad bill a little less bad, fine. But you still don't have to vote for it out of committee, and you don't have to vote for it. You don't have to put your name on it. If nothing else.
Well, one of the things that is the most damaging thing to trying to take a majority is being a compliant minority.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans were in Washington D.C. The Republicans were in the minority in the House from FDR until 94, okay, with the exception of a couple of years after World War II. And so, by and large, except for a four-year period, Republicans were pretty much locked into a minority position. From the time I was born to 1994, I'd never seen a Republican House and had only seen Republican Senate from 1980 to 1986,
mm-hmm.
Due to the Reagan landslide in 80. So it was there was a different mentality that existed when you're permanently in the minority. We've got to get whatever little thing we can get. We got to get something for our district. But it's never a true philosophical battle, a battle of ideas.
Nope.
And Gingrich said, we're not doing that. And they threw out the minority leader from Illinois, who, by the way, his people are still roaming the halls of Congress, but from 30 years ago. But they threw out Bob Michael, and the Republicans said, we want to have a fight. We have somebody who's going to fight. Gingrich came in. He was young. He was aggressive, and he wanted to fight. He was intellectually capable of having a fight. And we won a majority, a massive landslide in 94, rejecting the Democrat Congress and their ideas. And since then, it's been about a push-me-pull-you back and forth in terms of who controls Congress. But at least it's been a battle between where, you know, it's not, you know, we're not, you know, the Republicans aren't Tom Thumb and the Democrats aren't Goliath. We have equal firepower. The challenge is we don't have equal money. But truth be told, this is a change election. Change elections should go to the party that is against, that is opposing the presidency. The Republican electorate is extremely fired up. The Trump electorate is fired up.
Yeah, it's fired up, and it's fired up and also angry, not just fired up. I mean, there's
The people vote because they're mad. They don't vote because they're happy. Yeah. That's just, unfortunately, you know, that's why you lose in midterms.
Yeah.
Because all the people are mad, you know, they go, oh, yeah, we took it out. We don't have to pay attention now. And the other side's mad, so they throw you out. And that's the, you know, it's one of the psychological aspects of political warfare. But it is but the reality is the Democrats are pushing things to try to make, you know, make them mad. For instance, the Trump conviction. Mm-hmm. It hasn't moved anybody in the middle, hasn't moved anybody who's kind of undecided. But what it's done is it's increased the intensity for the most ardent Democrats. And so that's going to be one of the things they're going to do. They're putting in some states, they're putting abortion on the ballot in the hopes of trying to create a crosswind with suburban women voters.
And that makes sense politically for Democrats.
Yeah. It's no different. It's no different than 2004 when Karl Rove put gay marriage on the ballot in Ohio and elsewhere, and as a result, we wiped them out because of opposition to gay marriage. Now, obviously, it shows you what happens in 20 years with a minority that is extremely focused and a majority that refuses to talk about things and chooses to let something percolate that shouldn't be allowed to percolate. But nonetheless, the fact is, it's a strategy both sides use. Yeah. It's a strategy both sides are using. But from you're sitting there in Oregon, okay, and you're sitting there and say, what can I do? Well, one of the things you can do, you know, you've got some California listeners, you've got two Republican congressmen, one in California and one in Oregon, your listening area.
There's actually two, and, you know, but I guess Lori DeRemer is not particularly conservative from the sounds of it.
No, she's one of those ones who gets chosen by the Washington, D.C. people because they've determined that she can win.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And in other words, a squish.
In other words, a squish. Okay. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, you know, they make a determination that they want to have the power and the jobs to go with it. And it doesn't really matter if the person's going to vote with you how much you're going to be able to get anything done with the person in that seat. But, you know, that's I've made decisions both ways in my life. And so I understand. Mm-hmm. Point is, you have at least two that you can impact, that your listeners can impact. And the key is, and what you need to tell them is, I don't need you sitting around in D.C. Giving essentially enabling the left to win. What I need you to be doing is they should still do their committee hearings. Mm-hmm. They should still do all the investigative hearings. They just don't have to ever show up as a body to vote. Okay? It's simple. Do the work that has to be done, that's required to be done. Do it early. Get home. Make the case for America back to Americans. Make the case of why the border needs to be fixed. Make the case of why what's running rampant on our streets with all these kafefi-wearing people, mask-wearing people, burning stuff down and attacking people and attacking Jews. Let's make the case that evil is running amok in America, and it's being enabled by Joe Biden and the left.
And it's time to vanquish it, all right? Hey, let's
– Time to vanquish it.
All right, let's – okay, so get in touch with Cliffy and Doug LaMalfa and see what we can do about this, okay?
Yep.
Now, let's shift over to the Trump-Biden situation. Let's talk about Biden first. Of course, Hunter Biden convicted, and we don't know when he's going to be sentenced. And now they're talking about a commutation. You know, that was something that was tossed at the White House yesterday, and they kind of stumbled all over that thing. What's the difference between a commuting a sentence and a pardon? What does that mean? Do you know?
You know, I don't. That's a great question. They have the same net effect. A commutation, though, I think a pardon wipes it from the record. A commutation essentially just takes away the jail sentence. I think that's the difference. And so you would, for instance, if Joe Biden said, gee, I think I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to get, if they do to me what we did to Trump, I'm going to be facing jail time. It might be wise for him to commute Donald Trump's sentence in New York, even though it's a state crime. The president can say, well, we're commuting the sentence. We're giving full. And
hey, there's all sorts of things that he's done before, like, forgiving student loans that he's not allowed to do. So what? He just does it anyway, right?
Well, he can call up the governor of New York and say, you know, politically, we need to commute that sentence and have her do that from New York. He could do whatever, give a pardon on all federal crimes or whatever he wanted to do. Point is, if he viewed it was in his interest, if he was going to lose, and he said, gee, I really don't want to have, I want to set the precedent that sentences for ex-presidents get commuted, he'd be wise to do that because he may not know he's in jail, but that sucker's going to jail.
Interesting. Let me ask this then. Let me redirect it a little bit here. With Hunter Biden, if he's not going to pardon Hunter Biden and he commuted the sentence, what would you think about Biden commuting Hunter Biden's sentence if he also commuted the J6ers? What do you think about that? You think he would do something like that?
He'd never do that.
He'd never do
he
that. Okay.
Have to. It would destroy. Listen. The main thing that came out of the whole Hunter Biden case was we learned the FBI knew all along that the Hunter Biden laptop was real.
Yep.
And put it into evidence saying this is real. So now the federal government has entered into evidence all of the stuff that all the deals that Joe Biden was engaged in shown on the Hunter Biden laptop.
Yeah, you know, the big guy, right? You got 10% for the big guy, right?
They've lost their entire defense about the illegitimacy of evidence because the FBI and the court just put it into evidence and the court accepted it as evidence. So it's no longer can be argued whether it was Hunter Biden's laptop and the things within it are true. Given that, we're dealing in a different legal world. But Joe Biden politically. Since they're only have really two things they're running on Orange Man Bad
and abortion.
Abortion also three things. Orange Man Bad, abortion, and last but not least, we're going to have it's a threat to democracy. Just look at J6. Okay, those are the three issues. So if he went off and he said, "Gee, we're going to," in fact, the threat he's going to make is that Donald Trump will do just that for all the J6 defendants. And that will be, and so consequently, he's going to effectively unleash his army and get them out of jail and send them rampaging across America.
Sounds good to me.
Democracy everywhere.
Sounds good to me.
Democracy everywhere. Yeah, well, unfortunately, it'll be it would be a motivator for the left.
I get
and,
it.
So my objective, and this is where I kind of split the baby between the idea on trying to get having people nominated who can quote unquote win. Ultimately, in November of 2024, winning's what matters, and it is the price for second place is jail now. Mm-hmm. So you really don't want to finish second. It didn't used to be that way until this year it wasn't that way.
Yeah, this is sort of the Soviet election of 2024.
So if we're if you now have to acknowledge that the old idea was, you lose, you go into a think tank, you're in bed somewhere, you set up your own little shop, you push your own ideas, and you know, and every candidate for 2028 goes and has their own little thing they're doing in terms of C4 pack or whatever, and they push out their own think tank stuff, and they provide themselves a platform to build an army and run in 2028. That's the model that has existed since Ronald Reagan. The model that exists now is, if you lose, you hire a legal team and you shut up, because you can't, if you raise your head, you're going to get, you're putting yourself in more danger. And if you have a legal team that's vetting everything you say, it creates an environment where you're more likely to be not being in jail than you are. And it just changes the entire capacity to have speech in America and have political discourse in America. And I hate to tell you, but, you know, politicians sit there, you know, people all think that they're rich. They're not. And it is the single most vulnerable aspect of any politician is the fact most of them aren't rich. I mean, by rich, I mean Donald Trump wealthy. And as a result.
Okay, what about Ron Wyden wealthy?
Okay, well, Ron, I don't know. Ron Wyden has the advantage of being in the party that doesn't get prosecuted.
Oh, forgot about that. Thank you. All right.
There's a special class. If you happen to be a Democrat, you can be of the people in terms of having and just be a former the youngest gray panther in history.
Uh-huh.
But it's a, if anybody remembers the Ron Wyden's backdrop of being a 20-year-old gray panther.
Yeah, I do recall.
But anyway, it was a...
yeah, in other words, he let the old man in a long time ago. Let me put it that way, okay?
Yeah, I know. Well, the key to this is there are different incentives in politics now. And it is a... And I don't know how that plays out, but I know that it hurts the capacity of a Donald Trump to get election lawyers. It hurts the capacity... It's going to hurt the capacity of Donald Trump to get people in the White House staff.
Yeah.
Because quite honestly, going in for 2-3 years into White House staff and then spending 5 years in court.
Who wants to be the next Rudy? Let's be honest. Who wants to be the next Rudy Giuliani? Right.
Nobody. If they can, if they can do that to Trump, they can do that to anybody. I think the real answer is, if they could do it to Giuliani, they can do it to anybody.
Yeah.
Because Giuliani is a prosecutor. Well, he understands the law. He doesn't go over the line, and yet they're using the very laws that he used to take down the Gambino family in New York to try to prosecute him in Atlanta, and it's and we've just hit a new level of insanity. And it's quite honestly, any thinking person, normally it'd be a great thing to go in the administration for somebody like me, at my age, kind of I can get a decent job and do some good. But
oh no,
would I want to be in the White House?
Not now.
So you have to make a decision, and ultimately the decision in my case would be a little bit, I'd have to look at what was being offered, because if you can actually make a difference for the country, I think you betray what you've lived to do.
If you don't do it, but I would understand people turning him down. All right.
People aren't going to do that.
Yeah. You know, there is one aspect of this that we haven't talked much about, and maybe we can do it next Friday here. But, you know, the longer that this goes on, kind of like the, the COVID news, the truth coming out 2-3 years after the fact here. And you see like what happened in the Arizona election. And there's the story out. What is it? What was it? It wasn't Pew. Who was the Rasmussen? Was it Rasmussen doing the report?
Yeah. Yes.
That ends up reporting. So we're talking really credible people. There's one type of official voter paper paper in Arizona, and there were 5 different types of paper on ballots.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's nothing to see here. I mean, listen, this is kind of one of the challenges I've had all along on the election integrity arguments. We're now getting a lot of stuff coming out about Dominion that indicates there may be real evidence that there's shady stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But we spent so much time talking about Dominion, which was impossible to prove if you couldn't get inside the machines. And so we spent a lot of time talking about Dominion. And the fact is, we had in multiple states absentee mail-in ballots that were unfolded.
Which means they were never folded and put in an envelope.
Which means they were never put in an envelope.
Yeah.
You know. Okay? If you don't have, you know, it's pretty simple. If there's no fold, it didn't materialize, okay? It was printed by somebody.
Which brings me back to...
Well, it's printed.
Which brings me back to when you're in a situation that, you know, you either win or the victor is going to prosecute you, you know, whoever ends up, you know, becoming victorious.
Pretty big incentive to cheat.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering. Boy, this... I don't know where we go from this because...
Listen, we are in completely uncharted territory. And the safest thing to do is to pretend we don't know anything, put our head in the sand, and just say, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Right.
That's the safest thing to do because if you... I guess the term is red pill. If you take the red pill and you open up your eyes and you see that it's all... that what's actually happening... it becomes very difficult to
unsee it,
answer a question, unsee it.
Yeah.
And it's a, and truthfully, you begin to see things that, because you're suspicious of everything, you see things that aren't there. So, it's, and all you have to do is say one thing that isn't there to discredit all the things that are. So it's a, you know, so it's a challenge. But you know what? I survive in this town. And by the way, I'm standing here. You talk about the swamp. I am standing on 14th and F about two blocks from the White House right now. And it's about 200 degrees and I'm really, and really humid. But it's a,
why didn't you tell me that? I mean, you're sitting there, you're raving like a lunatic on the street and people are walking by you.
Well, that's normal in DC.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Nobody pays attention. If you're raving in the street, you're raving like a lunatic in the street. I mean, that's just true. I'm blending.
All right. Well, the one thing
is a sign.
Yeah. The one thing that is really that is interesting about this is that you know, is the cheat machine not going to be able to overcome the Trump vote? That will be the big question. And one of the most interesting takeaways that I was reading this morning was an Axios, no friend of Donald Trump, of course, in which we're now at the vote share. Between 18 to 34 year olds, between Biden and Trump, are practically tied. Trump's like a point behind. So, remember when I was asking you last week if renters might possibly choose this election? These are people that are being screwed in the current economic system. And
I hope that that is the reason and not some kind of disaffection towards Israel and because of the brainwashing that's occurred and we can't support Genocide Joe because that would be a really bad outcome. But truth be told, here's something to think about. And this is the kind of junk I think about every day. I see all these polls. We've written about a lot of them, which show that Biden's support amongst Hispanics is collapsing.
Yep.
They show that he's that
among blacks it's collapsing too. Yeah.
He's probably going to lose 4 to 5% of the black vote that he had 4 years ago. Okay, so it's in key states that matter. So that's where you know that demographic matters. But from a and yet I see the same national polls which show all that, and they show that Biden and Trump are running neck and neck, 1 to 2 point difference either way, and it is impossible. It is impossible for that to be true and for all of those facts to be concurrently true. So I sit there and I say, unless a significant cohort of voters who voted for Trump in 2020 and 2016 are no longer going to vote for Trump. I mean, that's a – and so I
– That is a possibility. Some don't feel like they want to vote for Team Chaos Republican, I guess.
Well, then that's – That is an argument Joe Biden's been making. You know, well, there's, you know, we don't want to go. All this chaos is because of Trump, and it is in a perverse way. You know, if it wasn't for Trump, we wouldn't know about what's happening in terms of Department of Justice and manipulation of elections and political prosecutions and like. So, you know, at some level, if not for Trump and the fear that they have that they can't be controlled. Is, you know, extreme measures would not have been taken, at least not overtly, so we could see them. and we wouldn't have had 4 or 5 years of figuring it out. And as a result, you wouldn't have had people say, wait a second, FBI, maybe they're not our friend. So at some level, if we just had another Romney-esque candidate, we would never have known all this stuff was going on.
Oh, I know. It would have all gone back to sleep, and it would have been very corrupt, but very quiet.
It would have been wonderful. Yeah. It would have been just wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
You know, when people get awakened that freedom is in jeopardy, it gets a little chaotic.
Something tells me that these young voters are looking out there and saying, yeah, you know, this is not working for us here so far. Okay,
young voters tend to be more.
All right, Rick, got to go here, but I appreciate you sweating like a pig on 10th and F in Washington D.C. But next time, go to the air conditioning. Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Well, I was walking to the air conditioning, but I had to stop. So anyway, I got a good walk out of it, and I've got I got lots of steps in my Fitbit, so life is good, and we'll talk next week.
We'll circle around. DailyTorch.com, Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. A lot going on there right now, but he wants there to be less going on with Congress. We'll have to talk with Cliff Bentz about that for sure. 7 minutes after 7, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. Town Hall News coming up.